There we go. Justifying wrong attitudes or actions. How about putting your desires first before God?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. When we do that,
we sometimes don't even know we're doing it.
Right? So that would be one of those unintentional ones.
Yeah.
How about feeling annoyed over the success of others or the lifestyle of others? How about focusing on the cares of the world and putting your full attention and trust in the things of the world, like money, power, possessions, and image? See, when we allow that to define us, we lose focus on who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And this doesn't mean not caring about what happens in the world. We have to care, right? But Jesus tells us that we are in the world, not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to care what happens. Right? We still got to live. We have families we got to worry about. We still have to care. But it means putting God first. It means putting God first. You know, we prayed earlier for Scott, right? It's okay to go to the doctor, right? It's okay to go to the doctor. But we got to let Jesus walk through the door before
us. Amen.
We have to, right? God made doctors to be his hands and feet on the ground. I truly believe that, right? And he performs miracles through doctors. Healing, surgeries, whatever. We have to let him go first. We have to let him go first. How about this? Gossiping or speaking unkindly of those not present. We do that, right? So, after looking at six of these, and there's thousands more, but I ask again, how many of you sinned today? Amen. How many have confessed all your sins today?
Well, not yet.
I didn't do it yet.
So when we accept Jesus Christ, right, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. There's not a sinner's prayer in the Bible, right? It's not in there. A sinner's prayer is a prayer it's man made. It's efficient. Everybody uses it. But if we believe and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? We're confessing that he's Lord, but what else are we confessing? We've got to confess our sin. Right? So when we do that, we're forgiven. But Jesus still wants us to act each and every day. Each and every day. So, but if we don't, we have unconfessed sin. And a lot of times when we have unconfessed sin, we think it's so bad that Jesus can't forgive us. That's untrue. There's only one unforgivable sin. He can forgive us for everything. There's only one unforgivable sin. So whatever you're going through or whatever kind of sin you have, confess it. We can't have unconfessed sin. We just can't. It causes too many problems. So this week, at the beginning of the week, I'm going to get to Joshua 7. Today's scripture is Joshua 7 and 1 John 1:9. So, in school, I'm studying Joshua. And I had to write an exhortation on Joshua 7. And they said, write it, submit it like you're doing a Bible study. Well, Holy Spirit just took over. So I'm like, man, that's really good. Pat myself on the back. Then it was the Holy Spirit. And after I walk away and submit it, the Holy Spirit says, that needs to be your message on Sunday. So I'm going to read Joshua 7. I'm going to give a little backstory. This is about Jericho, right? This is about Jericho. This is about when Joshua took his army and they obeyed God. And they walked around Jericho and the walls fell and they took Jericho. But God said, everything that you take, all the treasures that you take are mine. You put it in the treasury of the Lord. Well, there was one that didn't, and that's what we're going to read about. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned."
God help all Israel.
Guilty of Achan. And we're going to see of Achan's sin. Israel has sinned, and they have so also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed with destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify your people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. God knew that there was something wrong. That there was something wrong. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you.
How God punished the Israelites is they lost the battle to Ai. They've never lost the battle. But because of the unconfessed sin, they lost that battle. They lost 36 people.
Doesn't seem like a lot, but that is bloodshed. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he had transgressed the covenant of the Lord. His whole family. And because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose up in the morning, early in the morning, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of Zerahites and brought them, the family of the Zerahites, man by man. Zabdi was taken, then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the God of Israel and make confession to him. And then tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. I shall not covet." Amen. And there they were, hiding in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you to this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stone. See, God blesses us in many ways. Amen. God blesses us. And he even gave blessings to Joshua and his army. And when we receive blessings for God, it means that we're usually walking in his will. Amen. And not ours. But Joshua and his army have been obedient up to this point, doing everything God has commanded. By doing this, they have had great victories. Great victories. Do we have great victories when we're walking in the will of the Lord? You better believe we do. Amen. However, these things changed in chapter 7. And as we walk through life, we're to obey the word of God and what he says. Always put him first. Always put Him first. But so often, when we're going through the daily rigors of life, and when we realize that some things are amiss, we got to take a step back. We feel like God's not walking with us, or we feel separated from Him, not knowing why. Right? We're like, God, where are you at? What are you doing? We must go to God and ask Him what is hindering our walk with Him, as Joshua did. Joshua ripped his clothes. He knew something was wrong. They lost the battle. They've never lost the battle. Most times, it's unconfessed sin that keeps us from the Lord. And it keeps us in bondage. Sin that's like buried like the treasure that Achan buried. We bury our unconfessed sin where it causes us to lose the battles. It causes us to lose the battles. Achan had his priorities all mixed up, as we often do. He chose to put his own needs in front of what God wanted. Remember, that's one of those six. We're putting our own needs before what God wants. We have to put God first above all else. And if we're not putting God first in our lives, we feel like we're under judgment as our lives become chaotic. Today, because Jesus finished work on the cross, we are justified by faith. And God will teach us where we went wrong. But what we have to do is we have to confess our sin first. God is a God of restoration. We talked about this morning. He can restore us. Right? But we have to confess that unconfessed sin. And every single person in this room, including this guy standing right here, has unconfessed sin. Mm-hmm. We all do. And it hinders our walk with the Lord. It really does. It hinders our walk. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's hope. That's reassurance. That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But the important is, cleanse us. Cleanse us. Cleanse our heart. In the mornings when I get up and I go to my prayer time before I study or do whatever, God, forgive me of my sins and cleanse my wicked heart. Because it's wicked. It's wicked. We got to ask for that cleansing. Amen. See, this verse is written to Christians and hinges on the word if. God offers total pardon for every sin His child commit. Step one. If we confess it to Him. If we confess our sins. The word confess implies agreeing with God about how bad our sin is. Right? He knows what we're doing. You can't hide from Him. He knows our unconfessed sins, but we have to confess them. We have to confess them. Repentance, or turning away from it, is part of that confession. For those who have not been pardoned by the blood of Jesus, every sin is unconfessed and unforgiven. Eternal punishment awaits those who refuse to repent of their sin and accept Jesus' sacrifice for it. Right? Those that don't know Jesus, all their sins unconfessed, all their sins unpardoned. They're not saved. They're going to stand accountable for their sin. The unsaved. It's our job as a church, and I'm not talking about this building right here, Light of Christ, it's the body of Christ, to get out and make sure people know about Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tracts are so important. It opens up a door to speak to somebody about Jesus Christ. We can't let people perish. That's not God's will. God's will is to all to come to repentance, that none shall perish. If we're not doing our part, we're not sharing the love and the salvation that Jesus Christ has to offer. Second Thessalonians 1:8-9 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. John 3, 15 through 18. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But what about a Christian with unconfessed sin? What about us that have unconfessed sin? Where do we fit in that scripture? Right? Well, for one, we accepted Him. I hope all of you accepted Him and have Him in your life. But we still have that unconfessed sin. And according to Scripture, all of our sin was paid for when we accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in Him." It's not our righteousness, right? He leads us into right. We just in Sunday school today we did Psalm 23 in being a shepherd, right? Ra is God's name for shepherd. He leads us into righteousness. His righteousness. We have to allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to do that. See, when we make the divine exchange at the cross, God chooses to see us as righteous. And it's not ours. God sees us holy. God sees us as holy. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness what we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." He switches accounts with us. Our tarnished rap sheet for His perfect record. And we have the full approval and acceptance of God from then on. We have that. But what happens when we sin after receiving that perfect record? So imagine standing in front of a window on a cold winter day. Sun shining through, you feel that warmth. I know our animals love when the shine, when the sun shines on the floor. Dogs and cats, they love the rain, right? How's that? When we're standing in front of that window, we can feel that warmth, right? We can feel that comfort of the sun on a cold. We're looking outside, the snow, right? The roads are bad. There's ice everywhere. But the air is frigid, but we can feel that. The sun begins to warm us and we just bask in it. Then we pull the drape closed. Instantly, the warmth stops. Right? It's not warm anymore. It's not inviting anymore. Is it because the sun had stopped shining? No. It's because something became between us and the sun. S-O-N. But the moment you open the drape, the sun can warm you again. But it's up to you. It's up to you. The barrier is inside the house, not outside the house.
Amen.
Unconfessed sin works like that drape. God delights in His children, right? He desires to bless us and to fellowship with us and to shower His approval on us. And as Robin read Psalm 84, "For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly." He wants to bask us in the warmth of His smile, but when we choose sin, we build a barrier between ourselves and our Holy Father. We pull the drape on the fellowship with Him and begin to feel that chill of spiritual loneliness. We pull that drape shut. We can't do that. We can't do that. Many times we become angry and accuse God of leaving us when in truth we have left Him.
Amen.
He doesn't pull the drape. We pull the drape. We pull the drape. And we stubbornly refuse to repent. And we will be disciplined by our loving Father. There's no judgment on us. It's a chastisement. It's a teaching because he loves us. Hebrews 12:7-11 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Amen. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, and boy, it doesn't, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We have to allow ourselves to be disciplined when we're going through something. God, what do you want to show me? What do you want me to learn from this?
Amen.
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 The Lord's discipline can be severe, and sometimes it feels like judgment, but it's not. It's not. Even leading to death when a heart has hardened to the point of no return, as we see in Achan in Joshua 7. He was stoned to death and his family, and they were burnt. But God longs for restored fellowship even more than we do. In Matthew 23:37 says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you are not willing. You are not willing. He pursues us, disciplines us, and loves us even in our sin and rebellion. But we have to be willing to confess our sin to him for restoration, to be back with him, to open that drink so we can feel the warmth of the sun. God demonstrates his love towards us, and while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. But he leaves our free will intact. We got to pull back the drape by confessing and repenting our sins. And I'm going to close with this. If as children of God we choose to remain in our sin, then we choose the consequences that go with that choice. Broken fellowship and the lack of growth result. However, those who persist in sin need to re-examine their true relationship with God. So if we're persisting in sin, if we're consistent, if we're doing the things that we shouldn't be doing, that's for us. That's a hindrance. That's a hindrance. We need to re-examine our relationship with God. Where are we at? Where's our priorities at? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That is 1 John 2, 3-6. Go back and read it. That'll tell you whether you're saved or not. A desire for holiness is a hallmark of those who know God. To know God is to love him. To love him is a desire to please him. And he tells us in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you don't keep a commandment, confess the sin. Plain and simple. We can't keep his commandments. We don't live under law anymore, right? We live under the new covenant. We live under grace. But it says if we can't keep a commandment, which God knew that we couldn't, that's why he sent Jesus, we need to confess that sin. We need to confess it. As Achan, right, he coveted. He took that treasure for himself and buried it so nobody would find out. That's what we do with our sin. Right? We bury it so nobody finds out, but who knows? God. God knew Achan had it. God knew Achan had it. Unconfessed sin gets in the way of pleasing God. And so true, a child of God wants to confess it, change it, and restore fellowship with God. Remember, it's about the relationship, not the religion. Amen?
Amen.
And we can't keep that drape closed on our relationship. We have to keep it open. And we keep it open by doing the things God wants us to do and by confessing our sins.
If you need to confess a sin, don't come to confessional.
We don't do that here. You go to God.
Amen.
You go to God.
Right to the source.
Right to the source. That veil was torn a long time ago, right?
Yes.
There's no veil separating us from God now. You go to Him. But if you need prayer, you come up here. So I can pray for you.
I'm going to pause this and hopefully start it back up. So when I put this on the website, it's not going to start right at the beginning because... that you give them what they need
each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Oh. That's some carpet, guys. May He bless you. Lift up His countenance to you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Go with God.
Thank you.
Me and Skyler will fix that.